from Johannesburg to Jerusalem. The world is always changing, growing and innovating. Join Benji Shulman for the next hour as he brings you the trendsetters, the thought leaders and those creating news before it happens. Only on the New Blue Review, your favorite Jewish culture and current affairs show. Every Monday at 9 a.m. right here on 101.9 Chai FM.
You're listening to 101.9 Chai FM. I'm Benji Shulman and this is the New Blue Review. Welcome to a slightly dank Monday morning and it is kind of a bit cold and wet out there. And it doesn't look like it's going to improve the rest of the week. So get those galoshes on, keep those scarves tight, and join us in the show today as we bring you the hottest news from the Jewish world, locally and around the world, and around the globe, I should say. So it was one of those weekends where basically everything happened from about Friday onwards. There was like two or three or four big stories that broke all simultaneously, confusing the hell out of everyone. And so I thought, let's just do a bit of a recap today on the show of these stories. What do they mean? What is the key issues that are going on? Because they do seem to be causing some confusions. And I'll give you my take. I mean, you don't have to agree with it or not agree with it, but this will unpack some of these issues. And if you want to unpack something in particular, you have something on your mind, 061-895-1019. That is the WhatsApp line. If you want to be part of the conversation, 061-895-1019. So what are the big things that have been going on? Well, before we get into that, do remember that later on in the show, as we always do at about 9:40, we're going to be checking in with Rob Hutchinson. He's from Dear South Africa, and he brings us every single week what is going on in Parliament. But besides Parliament, there have been a number of other big stories that have broken over the last 72 hours. One of which is, of course, Ibrahim Rasool being kicked out of the United States government. We had some big breaking news going on at the University of Cape Town. We had a very fractious and aggressive and a little bit confusing council session in Johannesburg over the question of Sandton Drive. And they also had some stuff to do with Wits University over the last week. So I'm going to be covering all of those, maybe a little bit more. We'll see if we get onto time. But let's start with those and go. And particularly, I think the one that was causing the most consternation was the question of Sandton Drive and the attempt to change it to Leila Khaled Drive. And I will give you my take about what is going on there. But if, in case you haven't been following this, because there have been some people who haven't, this is what happened. In 2018, there was a motion that was taken by the city council to change Sandton Drive to Leila Khaled Drive. Leila Khaled is a famous Palestinian terrorist. She hijacked several planes, including bringing grenades on before being sort of knocked out in the process, and then being taken for as a prisoner, and then being exchanged in a hostage exchange. She was also part of a number of other terrorist organizing attempts. She as part of something called the PFLP, the Palestinian Front for the Palestinian PFLP, Palestinian Front for the Popular Front. Excuse me, for the liberation of Palestine. I feel like I'm in a Monty Python movie here. Nonetheless, including one of her operations that she helped recruit and organize for was something called the Lod Massacre in Israel at the Lod Airport, which killed 25 people, if I'm not mistaken, including 17 Christian Puerto Ricans who were there on a pilgrimage. So this is the woman that was there. She had been to the country. She's been to South Africa a couple of times at the request of the ANC, and she basically has been even here since October 7th, swanning about, has never apologized, maintains everything that she's done is correct. And as a result, there was this idea to name, to change the name of Sandton Drive. Initially, there was I believe, an attempt to change it to Ramallah Drive, but for some reason they decided the geographic issue wasn't quite correct. So at the last minute, the council swapped the name to call it Leila Khaled. They misspelt it, interestingly enough, which may cause some legal issues down the line. And they voted to change the name from Sandton Drive to Leila Khaled Drive. Now, that's, suffice to say, is not normally how you change a name in the city. Normally what happens is the idea gets proposed by the city. There's some public participation. And then and then after some discussions and whatever, there is this change in names. And this obviously wasn't followed. Now, so this created immediately some legal issues for the city, some problems that they were going to have. And they didn't sort of end up going through entirely with the actual name changing process. Also, this particular name would violate a bunch of key things that are required by the city for a name change. It should be someone, for example, who's contributed to South Africa, and I guess in this particular case, Johannesburg, which of course Leila Khaled has no connection to South Africa whatsoever. She has a connection to the ANC because the PFLP and the ANC were friends back in the day, but she's never contributed anything to South Africa, certainly nothing to Johannesburg. She's not South African herself. Names are not supposed to be after living people because living people can do stupid things while they're still alive. Even Leila Khaled's probably already done something stupid, so no problems there. But basically, you're not supposed to do living people. She's still alive, and you're not supposed to have names which are problematic or divisive. They're supposed to promote social cohesion. Well, this certainly doesn't. And many, many people were opposed to this name. So skip forward a few years to last year, and we had the musical chairs of the city of Johannesburg carrying on its good self. And that had created a situation where for a while we had a bunch of mayors who were from Al Jamaa, which is the Islamist party, which has, I think, two seats in the city of Johannesburg. A number of mayors were put in, many of them not particularly qualified. Not that this mayor is great, but the last ones, there were questions about their qualifications. There were investigations into them doing sort of dodgy business deals, and eventually they were removed. But before they did, they put this question of the Leila Khaled Drive back on the agenda for discussion. At the same time, we've had a lot of heightening of questions around this because, of course, amongst other things, one of the objectees to the idea of Leila Khaled Drive was the consulate of the Americans that was now on the road that they wanted to change, and that would have caused some problems as well. But nonetheless, they forged ahead, including starting to get some public participation going. And in record numbers, members of the public started rejecting, by some estimates, at least 40,000 rejections came through around this question. And it was like a serious issue. And at the end, the ANC tried to get some stuff together. And then they sort of got 50,000 unsigned opposition things which are now being investigated. And the real question is, what is going on? So yesterday, or the day last week rather, there was a resolution that was taken by the Democratic Alliance. Previously, one had been taken by I think it was the FF Plus previously who'd taken a resolution. And the idea was, let's just get this off the agenda. We're going to rescind this resolution and take it off of the agenda so that we just don't have to deal with it anymore. And in fact, the PA, I think, had threatened this as well at some point. And the DA put this through and it didn't win, right? And so this resolution was defeated. And the question that we are going to answer after the break is why? What happened? What does it mean? And what are we going to be having Leila Khaled Drive instead of Sandton Drive coming up soon? That is the question. that we're going to be answering here on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm Benji Schulman, and this is the New Blue Review.
This is the New Blue Review with Benji Schulman.
101.9 Chai FM. I'm Benji Schulman, and this is the New Blue Review. Welcome to the show again on this Monday morning. Talking about Leila Khaled Drive, and if you have any comments or questions or any really input at all, 061-895-1019 is the WhatsApp line to choose. And we're discussing this question of Leila Khaled Drive and what happened. And just before the break, we had discussed that there was an attempt now to rescind the fact that this motion had been passed in 2018, in other words, get rid of it, just go back to basics as if it never happened. And I think that the key reason for this was that it proved to be that this question in the public participation process, it became apparent that this idea of renaming the street was wildly, wildly unpopular amongst Johannesburg residents, and that ranges from a variety of different places. Some of it has to do with the fact that people are don't want names to be changed of streets. Other people are concerned that there's no service delivery and it costs lots of money to change these names. Other people are worried that by changing the name of a terrorist to the street, you're encouraging other kinds of people to do this kind of thing. There's problems, as I said, procedurally with the name change. There's problems with the way that the city's bylaws haven't been followed. So all of this was wildly unpopular. And the big difference between 2018 and 2025, when this was first mooted now 7 years ago, is that there's been a change in the composition in council. And I think eventually, when you get done with all of the different issues that are going into this, eventually it's just become a question of the ability of one side or the other to focus its attention and really deal with this problem. And the reason for that is that from 2018 to 2025, I think we must have had at least one, maybe two local government elections. And every one of those elections, the parties, namely the ANC and the EFF, who are in favor of supporting this thing, keep losing power and keep losing their majorities. And that means that they have much less ability to actually drive this thing forward. And some of the parties have also changed their minds on this. Originally, the Patriotic Alliance voted for this thing in 2018. Now they're very much against it. And so the point is that the two parties that want this thing the most, or the three parties really that want this thing the most, which is the ANC, the EFF, and Al Jamaa, don't have a majority in council to actually pass this issue. And as a result, they are not able to pass it. And the people inside the coalition that they're having to govern with are concerned. They don't want this problem. They are very focused on this, on other questions, and they are not interested in this particular issue because the ANC is running the city with Action SA, with the Patriotic Alliance. I think even with the EFF, I'm not completely sure. Maybe the EFF is on the outside. Certainly with the IFP. And so all of these parties don't want to be associated with this thing because it is wildly unpopular. And really, the only people that that want this thing are the ANC in this coalition. So now the question is, what happens? So why then would they not rescind this motion? So I think it basically comes down to the fact that we're now dealing with overhang and coalition politics, because the DA put this rescind motion forward, and the people who have also said that they're opposed to the name don't want to rescind it. In the past, the Patriotic Alliance said, well, maybe what we need to do is change the name to something more palatable, they suggested the Dume Nokwe drive. So Dume Nokwe was actually a famous ANC person, but he was part of the ANC. But the Patriotic Alliance actually had worked to repatriate his body as part of the fact that they have the portfolio of arts and culture through Gayton McKenzie. And so they're quite proud that they managed to bring this guy home and repatriate his body. And so they thought about using that as an opportunity to celebrate this. So that was one option. The other option was they said they would rescind it. But there hasn't been that much movement on this question. And I think the reason for it is that basically they're in a coalition. And when you're in a coalition, there's certain agreements. The ANC, the PA likely have their own agreements about how to run the city, and they don't really want to upset one another. And so you've also got the Action SA, who's in the city of Johannesburg. I think that they have the speaker's chair, if I'm not mistaken, and they're also running something, and they're also quite important. So the point is, you have this kind of limbo situation where there's not enough majority to vote the name forward, but there's not enough majority to rescind it. And so that's where it's at. PA, Action SA, IFP have all said that they're opposed to the name change, but they also won't vote for rescinding. And so the name doesn't seem to be changing. That won't necessarily be taken forward, but the resolution stays on the books. And I think that the PA, if you read their statement at the moment, sort of is going forward to say that, look, we just need to wait and see what happens in the next council, which comes up, which would be, I guess, in sort of late 2026, if I'm not mistaken, when we have another local government election, and then at that council we'll decide what's going on. And that could be very, very interesting. There's no at this point suggestion that the ANC is likely to do well. They always do worse in local government elections. The EFF is not having a good time of it. We don't know what MK might do with a situation like this. We've never really tested them in local government, although given their policy positions, they could become a much bigger part of the discussion in Johannesburg. So we'll have to see. But effectively, if you ask me, you should never make predictions, particularly about the future. But it sounds to me, if you look at the statements, particularly out of Action SA and the Patriotic Alliance, who are in the government of local unity, they are not that interested in taking this forward, but at the same time, they don't want to hand the DA some sort of political victory against the ANC, who are their partners. So is it ideal? No. Are we likely to see the name Sandton Drive change to Leila Khalid Drive? I am of the opinion that you probably won't. Now, the Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic for Adults offers you convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you're having regular wellness checks such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offers you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening and pap smears, family planning and pregnancy screening. For fast, affordable, and with care, find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside. Dis-Chem Pharmacies, better health starts here. Now, something else which broke over the weekend, which I think may be far more consequential than people have particularly realized, has to do with the issue of UCT. And this particular consequential issue is the following. The UCT have their regular council meeting that they have. There's a council at UCT that does things like run the university and make sure that it does the things that universities are supposed to do. And they have their regular meeting. Now, you might be aware that at a certain point last year, after the middle of the war, the council took a decision to vote for a ban, a boycott of they didn't kind of phrase it as being of Israel, but they said of anyone in Israel who has military links. And that's sort of a very vague, weird thing. You know, if you served in the army 30 years ago and you're now a professor, does that mean that you have army links? No one really knows. The council doesn't know. And basically people in UCT are doing what they want with this. The reason why this is interesting is that there is a question about what might happen to UCT because of this. Basically, there was another vote on this question in the council this week, and they wanted to, again, to actually rescind the motion in a similar way to Leila Khaled Drive. And the council decided on a vote of 14 to 13, so really by one vote, that this shouldn't take place. So essentially the motion holds. And the reason we know that this took place was because Joel Pollack, who is touted as a potential ambassadorial placement to South Africa, somehow got hold of this information and then tweeted it onto the interweb. And this might not sound like a big issue, but if you read the actual text of the vote, like why did the vote come up again? It seems to be that the UCT has some concerns, first of all, around donor funding, because there's a lot of alumni who are very annoyed about what's going on at UCT and have stopped giving them their money. 50 million rand ditch in the number of donor funding. But the big kid in the room, let me just finish the point around the donor funding. UCT, after they did this particular thing around the boycott, also got sued by the history department. And the history department's papers suggest that there may have been as much as 200 million rand that may have been pulled from the university. That's just one, but there's lots of others, that bursaries might have been taken away, all sorts of things. So by my measurements, and in fact the measurements of some of these in these papers, the university may already have lost potential donations of 750 million rand. Now, all of this is all problematic if you're a university which is struggling with money, as our universities always are. But the real big boy, the dinosaur, the enchilada of the whole thing is that they are very concerned around the question of money that comes from the US, because there is this thing called the National Institutes of Health, which is a big funding organization, and as a result of that, particularly in a lot of health research, TB, AIDS, whatever, you know, you get these studies that you get sort of 40 different universities, professors, and they're all trying to research the same thing at the same time, and as a result, you have all these different interactions going on in the academic sphere. And what that means is that funding comes from America to UCT for this purpose. And for the first time, you're seeing concerns in this document that Joel Pollack got hold of that says that UCT is worried that the National Institute of Health may cut their funding. And that would make the donor money that I was talking about, the 750 million rand, look like a walk in the park if the National Institute of Health would cut that money. And interestingly, it would also mean that the university, according to this report that Pollack tweeted, that they would have to start cutting jobs and taking pay cuts for academics, etc. So that is a very interesting question. Elon Musk at Doge has said that in terms of cost cutting, NIS is on the target of their list. The head of the NIS or NIH, excuse me, which falls under a broader category, basically is by RFK Jr. You'll recall that his father was assassinated by a Palestinian when he was young, so he will probably take even less kindly to this. And I suspect that They are looking to cut money anyway, as we know, with USAID. And if they figure out that UCT has this thing on the books, then maybe we might find that UCT would be in the crosshairs of the Americans. And the kind of damage that this could do to UCT would be absolutely immense. Like, really, as I said, we're already 750 million rands down, and this could dwarf that if the Americans really do get hold of this. And the completely stupid thing about this, UCT has no official ties to Israel that they're boycotting to begin with. So they have no agreements, no engagements, nothing. They're pre-boycotting something which is going to cost them huge amount of money. Talk about stupid. So yeah, that's UCT. On the more positive side, we have Wits University, which I did want to talk about. Wits University in Johannesburg, every single year in around this time of the year, in fact, around the country, you have what's called Israel Apartheid Week, which is something that's promoted by the BDS campaign. I don't really have to explain it to you, I'm sure, but basically it's a hate festival of anti-Israel and anti-Jewish propaganda that floods onto our campuses, and our Jewish students normally have to deal with it. And for whatever reason this year, the Wits University chapter of the BDS and whatever decided to do their IAW early, which is unusual. Normally, IAW is done sort of towards the end of March, or closer to Human Rights Day from March 21st. And it's done all together with different campuses all around the world, all around the country. And this year, for some reason, Wits decided to do it last week. And you may not have heard about it. And that's because basically nothing happened this year. The Jewish students normally organize themselves and get together and do something. And indeed, that's what they did. They had three different days where they talked about Zionism and Judaism. And they talked about Hamas, and they did a day for the hostages, and they did a day of peace dialogue and engagement. And normally what you would see in one of these engagements is you would see in past years, they used to put both the Jewish students and the anti-Israel students in the same square together, and that obviously would turn into a giant conflict zone where everybody would be bashing heads and screaming at one another. Then the university figured out that this wasn't good for anyone, and so they allowed the freedom of speech, but everyone was separated. But what would happen is that the anti-Israel guys, that would frustrate them that anyone was even existing with a different perspective, and so they would walk over to the other side and harass the security and fight with everyone. And there'd be a whole chamos again. But this year, there actually wasn't that because the other side didn't pitch up. There were no anti-Israel students. They did a couple of events, but only at night. They did like, they showed a movie which reportedly had like 20 people. They had a slam poetry session, which I'm sure all the poets on campus really enjoyed. And then they had one protest, which had... I saw a picture of it on Instagram. It looked like about 30 to 50 people. About 30 of them were sort of kind of your standard Islamist type. There was a few watermelon people, a couple of people who like clearly didn't know what was going on but came for the free food, and like three EFF people. And that was it. Like that was the whole thing. They didn't come to the Jewish student side. They didn't even go anywhere else. They just were there. And then they disappeared. And you know what? If they want to do that, that's their right. People have free speech. They have the right to protest. As long as they're not burning things, disrupting things, going after everyone, let them do that. But it just goes to show that unlike Cape Town, where they're getting this wrong, at Wits University, this issue basically has become a non-issue. No one cares. And people were able to engage. The Jewish students were there. It wasn't like everyone loved them. They came, they had discussions, they asked questions, which was fine. People were even had quite critical questions. And there was a proper dialogue and proper engagement, which is exactly what universities should be about. People need to learn things. It doesn't have to be a staging ground for revolutionaries to get their kicks off before they move into the rest of society. So well done to soldiers at Wits. We're not out the woods yet because, as I said, these other oaks did this thing early. So... we may still see it at other universities up in Gauteng. Certainly, I'm expecting to see it down in the Western Cape. But first up for Wits, I'm happy to report that IAW was a dismal and colossal failure. And let's hope that it carries on next year like that and forevermore. I'm Benji Shulman. This is 101.9 Chai FM. Rob Hutchinson up next.